Good evening, friends. This is Carolyn Evers, and as you know, it's one of my favorite times of the week. And it's because I'm here, you're there. We can exchange ideas and thoughts, and all of this is just so wonderful. And as you might suspect, I've brought along one of my favorite friends.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Aren't you glad he's come along? And if you get our emails, you know that the guest that Richard will be working with tonight is Dr. Omoto. And I find this an exciting thing because he did a lot of work with water. And I suspect the medium for this was thought. What an intriguing concept that thought can produce the things that it did in water with Dr. Omoto. And so we're going to be exploring some of these things. So if you know how we operate, as you listen to us, call Dr. Omoto into your awareness, and perhaps you will enjoy the things that Richard enjoys when he connects with him. Richard?
Yes, I've been sitting here calling him forth for a little while, and I have to say the overwhelming sense from this man is love. Just this beautiful expression of love. Yes, there's understanding, wisdom, and a level of power. And love itself, of course, carries power, but a very central experience energetically, overwhelmingly simply of love. Quite beautiful, beautiful energy. I had no interaction with the man in life, and so I don't really have an expectation of how he would come forth, you might say, in this manner. But that is the overriding experience, this beautiful expression of love. It's quite exquisite, actually. Very interesting.
Does Dr. Omoto have a message for us tonight, Richard?
Let's see what he has to say. My dear friends, it is an honor to come forth in this manner, and indeed so soon after I left your challenging and complex consciousness. Indeed, I was honored to be able to spend time upon the beautiful earth, although it has been disrupted by so much in recent years and has changed so much in the 70 odd years that I was present on the planet. And yet still there is so much to be joyful about and appreciative of in that world. And indeed so much can be resurrected, you could say, from the distortions and the interference of those who wish to control the world. And so I consider it, upon reflection, as having been an honor that I was able to spend time on that beautiful planet. It is, of course, a reflection that I make having crossed over, because I have to say I did not truly understand the totality of what it meant to be a soul incarnated in a human body. I had a sense of, you might say, a spiritual nature that was beyond the physical existence, but I did not understand the totality of what this meant and how much is, you might consider, sacrificed in terms of abilities and understandings to come forth in that very restricted consciousness. And it has been as if I have been set free in the process of leaving my body, crossing over, whatever term you wish to use, because that has been my experience, an experience of freedom, of exhilaration, because that consciousness is like taking the soul and squeezing it in a very small space. And when you cross over, it is a release of tremendous energy, of great joy, if you have any understanding of what it means to journey as a soul. And I am aware that many souls struggle as they cross over, but I had no fear of death. I knew there was something beyond the death moment, and I did not fear it. And I feel that has had a great impact on my ability to almost soar like an eagle, as you might describe it, since I crossed over. Yes, there is a time of review, but I spent little time upon this because I wanted to move on and to understand what I had been part of, and indeed, what, if I could understand it, what was going to happen in the world. So I wanted to initially share a little of the things that I came to understand whilst I was in the world, and also my perspective now that I have left it, even though it was only a short time in your terms that I left, some 4 weeks or so ago from this moment. And I have been touched by the outpouring of love and appreciation for the work that I was able to bring forth. And some people have asked me how I came to do this work. It seems such an unusual thing to have been investigating. And as is so often the case with people that bring forth such, you might consider, revolutionary understandings, in truth, I was guided on this path much more than I ever understood whilst I was incarnate. I can see far better the links that were put in place, the steps that were pre-planned so that I was in a position to investigate the way in which water responded to not just thoughts, but emotions. In truth, the process of thought is acting as a trigger or a guide for the emotions. Most of humanity does not understand how unique the human being is in terms of the array of emotions that is carried in the emotional body, in that consciousness. I have come to understand that it is quite unique in its richness, its complexity. And humanity in general does not understand this. Indeed, most of humanity blindly accepts that there are no other beings that carry physical bodies in existence, or indeed that there is life elsewhere, even though in truth, if people look, there is abundant evidence for this. And so I have come to understand a little better the unique array of emotions that are carried in the human emotional body. And I, in part, began to investigate the nature of the role of thoughts and emotions in terms of water, because I was aware that how people thought had an impact on their health. Their emotional state significantly impacted their health. This was very obvious to me in just my daily life. And so I began to wonder about this. And if you look at most traditional perspectives on how the body functions, the water, which makes up most of the volume, most of the weight, and certainly most of the molecules in the body, it is a very powerful influence on how the body functions. And so really it was beginning to wonder about the nature of the role of water in the body, and also wondering about the mechanisms by which the emotional state, the thought state of the individual had on their health, that I began to wonder about the nature of the impact of thoughts and emotions on the behavior of water. You are encouraged in that consciousness to disregard water, to see it as simply something that you drink when you need it, or to cook with, or to wash away refuse, or to water your plants. But really, this does so little by way of acknowledging the extraordinary capability that exists within water. The first step is to understand that everything is conscious. Again, this is a notion that most people do not begin to accept or understand. Everything is conscious. Even the rocks in the ground are conscious. And of course, the trees and the plants, there is abundant evidence for this, and the way plants respond and are aware of human thoughts and emotions. So again, there is abundant evidence for this, and of course, animals and birds and so on are conscious. And in a way, humanity has become disconnected from this sea of consciousness, you might say, that all other expressions of matter, I would put it, are connected to within the Earth's sphere. And there is so much intercommunication that goes on between plants and animals and insects and compounds of various sorts given off by those various beings and expressions of life that interact in so many complex ways. Plants between plants of within a particular species or between species. It is recognized that if you plant some plants with others, they provide some protection during their growing season. Similarly, plants give off certain chemicals to protect themselves from attack by insects. And this is why you see plants that are very healthy far more able to resist infection, whether it be from insects or from disease. So it is a complex picture that, for the most part, humanity has become disconnected from. And indeed, that disconnection has been very strongly encouraged by those who essentially control the planet. And so, as we get back to water, if you accept everything has a consciousness, then you begin to look at water rather differently. And for me, it was no surprise to find that it reacted quite strongly to how it was interacted with in a thought and a feeling and an emotional sense. And so, in a way, my work proved to be a very simple way, you might say, to demonstrate to people that were open to it the power of emotions in particular on how water behaves. It is so clear cut from the crystallizing experiments that I conducted and shared with the world. And truly, I had no conscious idea that this would unfold in the way that it did, but I was, as I said, guided to investigate this understanding. And so when you see this impact, you begin to understand the power of emotions, the power of thoughts, and why it is that those who seek to control your planet work so hard to influence the thinking and the emotional state of humanity. They wish to make it as negative as possible. They wish to disconnect people from their more, you might say, comprehensive understandings of who and what they are. So many mechanisms are set up to have people carry wounding throughout their lives and to live in what you call the left brain, the logical, the rational, the analytical, the judgmental. All of this is encouraged by so many mechanisms in your world. And there are powerful mechanisms in place that are seeking to disrupt this even further than most people recognize. And I'm referring to not so much the radio waves that might be used for day-to-day communication and so on, but rather there are networks of interference that have been set up in your world for the specific purpose of controlling and manipulating the thoughts and the emotional states of humanity to make it as negative as possible, to make it possible to destroy what self-esteem that people might have and to be able to steer them in particular directions. And the power of this gets reflected in the water in their bodies. And my dear friends, I want you to understand that you can easily disconnect yourselves from this interference. And there is a very simple way to do this, and it is something that I understood through my work and is reflected in the work that I have left, the legacy that I have left behind, and that is the impact of love. If you are able to connect with your self-love, something which has been so buried in the way that most people live, the notion that they might love themselves by default, you might say, is so deeply, deeply lost to most people. They are in survival mode. They think they are worthless. They think they have no value other than survive long enough to take care of their children, to give them a better chance, supposedly, in this manipulated and controlled world. But my dear friends, if you understand that by reconnecting with that truth within yourselves, the truth that you must, by definition, love yourself because of who and what you are, then all of this interference, these attempts to manipulate you and control you, the understanding that emerges within when you reconnect with that love, the truth that you are enough, that you need nothing else in truth but yourself to be whole, to be complete, this understanding and this love will simply disconnect you from all of these efforts to manipulate you and to control how you think and react and how your health evolves. So again, in a way, it is the message that my work brought forth, because it is so easy to see the impact of the various emotional states that were communicated to the water samples and what was produced in crystalline or non-crystalline structures as a result of those emotions, those thoughts. Love, my friends, is at the heart of all. And if I can give you one takeaway message, do whatever it is you need to do to rediscover, to reconnect with that fundamental truth within yourselves, that you are created from love in truth, and that you are lovable. And above all else, you need to reconnect with your ability to love yourself for who and what you are. And that requires healing, my friends. It requires healing to accept that simple yet fundamental truth that is so carefully buried from most of humanity. But for the moment, it is not most of humanity that is listening to this message. It is but a small group. And I want you to understand that all of these efforts to manipulate the conscious experience that you have through the news, through smart meters that are being installed across the planet, through the various electromagnetic networks that have been set up in America and other countries to control and manipulate the consciousness of humanity. You have really no idea unless you have investigated these things. But the patents are there. The work is there. The whistleblowers are there revealing all of this. It is just not in the general awareness of people. And yes, things like cell phones and so on are not ideal, but they are not the major issue in your world. And again, love is the major issue for everyone. It will make you uncontrollable by these things. It is only when you are in fear and in doubt and in survival mode, you might say, that you can be manipulated in this manner. So this is my message to you, my friends. Rediscover your love for yourselves, and you can protect yourselves from these structures that are being so deviously placed throughout your world, far more than I had realized when I was alive. But as I said, I have been busily investigating things since I crossed over, and I have begun to realize how comprehensive these plans are to control humanity. And there are many others that have come forth and spoken to you about the changing consciousness that is beginning to emerge, and I will not spell that out further at this moment, but rather I wanted to give you this message about self-love. It is ultimately the key to your freedom in every sense, including these complex ways that people are using to destroy your sense of yourself and your place in the world. And so it is.
What a beautiful message. And I would like to thank you for the members of our audience for bringing forth such an exceptional message. And of course, some of the things that you have discussed brings questions into my mind. And one question that I have is, if you are cooking vegetables in a pot of water and you send love into that water, what effect would that have on the vegetables, do you think?
Firstly, I would encourage you to, you might say, bless the water before you begin to cook. Of course, I would encourage you, if you are cooking vegetables in that manner, to use a limited amount of water and to steam vegetables rather than boil them, or indeed, even better, to eat them raw. But if you are cooking them as you have described, then I encourage you to bless the water with love. And in so doing, you might say, direct how that water interacts with the vegetables. Blessing your food in general is such a powerful thing. Many practice saying what you call grace to give thanks for the food, but rather I encourage you to send gratitude for certain to the food itself, not to some mythical provider in the sky that so many encourage you to do, but rather express gratitude to the food itself and give love to that food and for the abundance of the world, of the consciousness that enables that food to be available to you. This is a very powerful thing to do as you contemplate consuming your food. Always take a moment to do this. It's nutritional value in your body, and also its contribution to the health of your body will be impacted in ways that you cannot imagine. So it is a very interesting subject that you raise.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. You brought up, you mentioned the idea of the smart meter. And what would you suggest that we do, considering that we have had these placed in our systems on, you know, at the home?
As I said, this and so many other mechanisms that have been set up to interfere with humanity, this is but one of many. And the solution to this is self-love, as I described. You will protect yourselves from any influence that these devices might try to impose upon you. They can really only impact you when you are already out of balance, and they will move you further out of balance. They will manipulate someone who has not connected with their self-love. But if you make this connection, you will shield yourself from anything that anyone might try to throw at you in this manner. You cannot imagine the difference that it makes. So do not be concerned about the smart meters. They are but one of perhaps tens of mechanisms, if not hundreds, that are being used to manipulate human consciousness. And they can all be dealt with by this simple approach that I described. Simple in its essence, but for many not so simple to implement, because there is so much wounding most people carry for many reasons.
Thank you. There are so many ideas that are coming into my consciousness with this concept. I'm thinking about shampoos that we use, soaps that we use, all of the different products that somehow touch our body, I would think would be very much enhanced if we blessed it and sent love to it. Would you agree with that?
I would very much agree with this. And I would also add that if you examine most of these commercial products, they so often have contents that are not truly serving the individual. They so often carry materials that are negatively influencing you as an individual. As I said, you cannot begin to imagine how comprehensive this arrangement is. And it is my view that it is not possible to pick this very complex picture apart, but rather the only scenario that will work is one where you are essentially able to step out of this influence into a new experience of consciousness that I know that you know is expected to emerge in the near future. And so, again, I would encourage you to bless all of the things that come into contact with you, shampoos, soaps, skin creams, all of these things. By blessing these things, you will dramatically impact their ability to produce positive outcomes for your physical body. So this approach of love for all things that you interact with is such a powerful place to stand in so many ways. And if you truly express love for, firstly, yourself, for who and what you are, and then, of course, your physical body, you empower it to deal with, you might say, interferences that are sent its way on a level that, as I say, you cannot even begin to imagine.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Now, there are some things that we do not personally interact with, but yet it's a problem as far as the earth is concerned. And I'm thinking in particular of the, I think I'm pronouncing this correctly, Fukuyama?
Fukushima, is that what you've got in
mind? Fukushima, yes, that's what I had in mind. What is your advice about that disaster?
I will tell you that I have come to understand that the Fukushima event was indeed man-made. It was not truly an accident, but rather was orchestrated using advanced technologies to cause this to occur. And as you might understand, it is the intention of the elite in your world to dramatically reduce the human population and to, in fact, encourage its mutation, you could say. And you might say there are mad scientists who think that it is appropriate to bring radiation into the human biosphere or the world biosphere to encourage and accelerate the process of natural selection, you might say, to bring forth a stronger human being in a form which they will then work with technology to enhance. I am not making up what I'm saying to you. These plans are very much in place. And so Fukushima was no accident. And it is difficult to avoid the impact of this radiation, and it will impact primarily the northern hemisphere of the world, and it will take a far greater time to reach the southern hemisphere, if indeed it does in any real manner. It is primarily a northern hemisphere issue. And so I would say that the only true way to escape its influence is this change in consciousness, where people will be able to step out of this very damaged experience. But once more, I will say to you that sending love to your body encourages its natural processes and encourages it to be able to resist even the impact of unexpected radiation.
Thank you. We have atomic reactors generating electricity in a lot of parts of the world, and there hasn't been an accident there yet, but is there something that we could do perhaps to prevent accidents?
It is a difficult question. The best solution in regard to nuclear reactors is in fact to shut them all down, to actually allow the coming forth of those mechanisms by which electricity and other forms of energy can be provided from the background energy field. Those mechanisms have been known for, you might consider, 100 years or so at the very least. And these truths have been buried, and indeed energy is seen as a powerful mechanism to harvest the energies of the human population. So many spend a lot of their time working to get enough money to have the gas, the electricity, the oil that they need to be able to operate their lives in the world, to run their air conditioning, their heating, their cars, all their electronic gadgetry, the lighting, all of these things requires energy, and there is no need for it to be coming forth either from fossil fuels or indeed from nuclear reactors. But in the current consciousness, I do not see these things being allowed to emerge. There is far too much control, power and control exercised through the use of fossil fuels and indeed the use of nuclear power. It is a very destructive thing to use in that environment, and it is completely unnecessary and has been, as I say, for 100 years. But there is no simple solution within that consciousness because it is far too closely controlled and manipulated. Most people have no idea that alternative mechanisms exist. It has been so deeply buried and hidden from the public.
Thank you. I would like to turn our attention towards food and this concept of GMOs. And apparently we're going to be eating these things without necessarily knowing that there is that problem.
Carolyn, before you go on, did you want to invite people to call in and ask questions? Because you haven't done that.
Yes, I do. And thank you for reminding me. I thought of it several times, and just that quickly, I had questions of my own. So I do invite our audience to call in with your questions to Dr. Emoto, because the ideas, the concepts that he has here are so beautiful. So please do that. We await your questions. Did you have any questions, Richard?
Well, no, you were asking a question. Was it about GMOs? Was that what you were asking? I cut you off. I'm sorry. But...
Actually, I forgot what I was saying. Well, we are eating food and we don't necessarily understand or realize what we're eating are genetically modified. And so I'm assuming that this same concept of love and blessing the food would work well in this instance also. What do you have to say about that?
It will certainly help. The best option for everyone is to seek out organic foods, seek out non-GMO foods, and consume foods that you prepare yourself or you know have been prepared by others from single ingredient foods rather than pre-prepared foods, even pre-prepared ingredients that go into food, because it is very difficult to avoid GMO in food. For example, you might cook a dish at home and you put breadcrumbs on that dish. Commercial breadcrumbs are, firstly, they contain a lot of sugar. They are made from white flour, and that flour is made in most cases from GMO-based product. So it is very difficult to avoid this influence in your life unless you are very careful. And I would say that, of course, love will impact this and minimize the impact on your body. But I would strongly encourage you to carefully select what you eat to avoid these things. So much effort is being put into sneaking GMO product under the radar for most people. And it has been done very effectively in the United States and to a lesser extent elsewhere in the world, but it certainly has been achieved in other countries. And it truly is a very destructive influence in the world, and intentionally so. Those who direct Monsanto and similar countries are all part of that big club, you might say, that run the world and wish to see the human population decimated. And food is one of those mechanisms, make no mistake about it. So, of course, self-love will help the body deal with anything. But I do encourage every individual listening to this call to seek out organic food. It is growing in awareness in even the United States. More and more you will see in the better shops organic displays of food that you can choose from. Yes, it costs more, but it is available and it is becoming more available, at least in the current time. Who knows what will happen as the man-made drought in California continues to grip that area and as the water supplies become more restricted.
Thank you. And that brings to mind another aspect of water, and that is when it rains. We have all of this water falling from the skies. Is there something that we can do besides, well, not besides, but maybe what we should be doing is sending love to the rain? What do you think of that?
Of course, this is helpful. Sending love to anything is a helpful process. And as you might appreciate, the rain that falls today is subject to many influences. Of course, it is subjected to the electromagnetic interference that is put into the atmosphere. It is subjected to the chemicals that are intentionally or otherwise placed in the atmosphere and come forth in the rain. But there is a natural healing process that occurs for water as it condenses from water vapor into rain droplets and falls to the ground. There is a healing of that water that occurs through that process that, in a way, avoids much of the interference that is sent forth. And if you are collecting this water, then I would encourage you to, again, bless it in the way that we have discussed. But also, if you have access to water that comes from spring sources that you are able to trust, then this is the best water to get because it passes through the ground before it ever gets to you. And there is a filtering process that goes on that is not only eliminating many of the chemicals that might otherwise come to you, but also it is changing the water energetically. The water that comes from springs in general is in a beautiful state as it comes forth. And whilst it is difficult for everyone in the world to drink natural spring water, it is certainly readily available if you seek it out. Again, your primary focus initially needs to be your own health and that of your family, your loved ones. And I encourage you to consume spring water whenever you are able.
When you say spring water, I think you're also including in that well water, aren't you?
I would also include well water. It is, in essence, no different. Spring water is simply flowing out of the ground. Well water is coming from streams that exist under the ground that you need a pump to bring forth. And whilst the pumping action, in a sense, does disrupt the water to a degree, it is minor in the scheme of things.
We really do appreciate all this information that you're bringing forth. I, again, suggest to our audience to call in with your questions. Dr. Emoto is such an authority with water and prayer and the consciousness of love. You must have some questions that bubble up with all this interesting information. I think I have covered all of my questions, and we're not having people call in with their questions. Richard, did you have any questions?
Yes, I have a question for Dr. Emoto, and that is, was he aware of efforts to suppress the information that he was bringing forth in the world? And he is saying, there were many efforts made to discredit the information that I was bringing forth because, of course, those who control the world do not want people following the thread that I had, you might say, exposed in the world, made available to people. Because if people understood what my work was showing, then you inevitably begin to reflect. If you are a thoughtful person, you begin to reflect on the nature of the messages, if you will, that my work displayed about the nature of consciousness, about the nature of life itself on so many levels that is so contrary to the generally perceived view of things. And you can see evidence of what I speak of if you examine the Wikipedia entry for me. You will see that there are a number of threads that have been placed there to demean my contribution. Anyone making an assessment of me based on the Wikipedia entry, and which you would know Wikipedia is deeply interfered with and controlled by what you call the dark on the planet. It is not unfiltered information. They make sure that anything that could lead humanity away from their control is demeaned. And you will see it very clearly if you read the Wikipedia entry that is there for me. It was originally placed by people who supported what I did, but you will see that there are subtle discredits, comments about my work being pseudoscience and my qualifications being able to be bought for a few hundred dollars and so on. These things are placed to discredit the contribution that I made. And these are not isolated examples. There were efforts made to limit the ability for me to come forth in public forums. There was no publicity of my work on the mainstream media whatsoever. And so there were quite strong attempts to limit the exposure of my contribution to humanity. But, you know, those people that truly want to understand the nature of what it means to be a human being, that are connected to this still somewhat underground stream of true understanding, then these people have connected with my work. And I am grateful that there is some legacy left in the world for what I was able to bring forth.
I would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of this wonderful information, Dr. Omoto, and to you, Richard, for bringing this through so faithfully. I would like to offer a few suggestions about all of this. And I think it would be very helpful to write little notes to yourself. For instance, when you get up in the morning, that mirror that you look into, you could put a little note there about blessing your food. Bless and send love to every ingredient that you use by way of cosmetics or food ingredients. At your dining room table, you could also put a little note about blessing your food. I think when we hear these things, we just love it. But what we have to do is put these concepts into practice. And the only way you really, to my humble thoughts, is putting things in practice is to start using them. And being human nature being what it is, we're pulled in so many directions, we need reminders. So I would suggest that we make all the reminders that are possible to use the blessings and the love force wherever we can. Do you have any thoughts on that, Richard?
I would agree. I think that what is a powerful thing to do is when you wake up in the morning, firstly, it's a powerful thing to plan your day in those first few moments when you wake up to think about the core things that you want to achieve in that day. And as part of that planning, to choose to firstly be grateful for that day and to remind yourself to approach the day from the place of love. Love for yourself, love for everything that you are going to come into contact with. Other people, as you say, food, cosmetics, everything that you come into contact with. And in this way, you can set yourself up to optimally interact with the experience of the world, including your own physical form.
Thank you, Richard. You brought up something that I had forgotten to mention, and that was gratitude. Thank you for reminding us of that. We have a few minutes before we already must leave. Is there anything that you wish to bring forth during those few minutes?
Well, I guess I'd like to revisit something that in a way came forth from what we were doing last week, and that is the opportunity to revisit past lives. We had a lot of interest in that show last week, and we may do another one of those in the future. And we actually finished up putting together a session where you could connect with Carolyn and ask about past lives that you have experienced. And I, in the next couple of days, will share with you Anne's experience of one of those sessions from last week, which was really quite fun, and she had a ball doing it, I think, and also her feedback.
Fun.
And you know, this is there for any of you if you want to investigate these things in more detail for yourself. They're a fun session.
Richard, I don't know if we can get this in. There's a call. Tina is on line one. We probably have about 2 minutes. Tina, real quick, what's your question, dear?
I had a question about blessing food or water. For instance, if you wanted to bless like a carton of eggs or like a big jug of water, if you did the blessing once, would you have to do it again each time, like you took an egg out or drank a glass of water?
That's
How
a good
long
question.
Does the blessing last?
Good question.
There is no need to bless things multiple times to impact it in this manner. But, of course, these things can be cumulative in a way. So living your life from a place of gratitude and of blessing all that you come into contact with, it might mean that you bless some things several times, but it is not a negative thing to do. It is, you might say, a place from which to approach life. And if I can convey one important notion to you, it is that to live your life from the place of gratitude and of love for all things. And sometimes you won't stay in that place. When people seek to mistreat you or things happen that upset you, all of that is perfectly normal. But as you bring yourself back to balance, remember that this place of love and gratitude is the best place to approach all things. And if that means you bless your eggs two or three times through the process, it is not a bad thing.
I love it. And the thought occurred to me, too, as we were talking about this, is when you open up your refrigerator, bless everything in there.
All right, thank you.
Until next week, my friends, I'd like to thank Dr. Emoto and Richard, who brought him forth in such a beautiful and engaging way. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Carolyn, for your questions. And thank you for making it possible. And Dr. Emoto, thank you for being such a wonderful guest.
Really, wasn't he? Until next week, my friends.